This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's not so bad with the shaking of the tuchus.
Now, from the new normal studios in Burbank.
I'm ready for sex. Tom
Likas. Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 24/7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And we are joined in this bonus hour by family law attorney Adam Jeffs. Adam, good to see you.
Hey, terrific to be here, Tom. Great to see you.
What's going on?
You know, Tom, I really miss that show you used to do where we would have the haters call in, you know?
Yeah, well, you got to be where the haters are.
Well, I was thinking of having some of my haters call in.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Yes.
You got to be careful with these possibilities. Things could get out of hand very quickly.
Let me give you a word of advice from a longtime professional.
Yes, yes.
Don't do that.
Absolutely.
I can do that. You shouldn't.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. Yes. You're always right about these
Remember,
things.
Remember, my career is dependent upon causing discourse. And you're here to tell guys why they need to hire you as an attorney.
Absolutely.
And we're not here to in any way ruin your reputation.
I appreciate that. You know, I've talked recently about some of the circumstances that are just strange. And, you know, I get into this kind of discourse where I'm talking to someone and, you know, I want him to hire me, of course, but he starts telling me these stories about what's happened and I can't even believe it. And I don't know even sometimes where I'm going to start to sort of, you know, untwist this web that the guy has made around himself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've talked a few times recently, and I told you about, you know, I had a couple of nerds that got involved with strippers, you know, always an explosive possibility.
Yep.
And foreign women and so forth, and the real inability to turn a whore into a housewife, which a lot
right.
of guys are trying to do. And one of the real foundational things that's happened today, and I think that this is one of the real basic outcomes of, you know, women's liberation and feminism, is that women quite seriously believe that men are their enemy. I mean, they really do. They're taught this. I mean, it's just a fact. I mean, of course, there's rape culture and patriarchy, and men are the natural enemy. And, you know, women sort of pour all of that onto, you know, the sisterhood and then really reinforce it among themselves and their friends. And then somehow they want to, somewhere along the line, meet a man and fall in love and have a white picket fence and a family and all that. And it's like, it's very strange that, you know, if you think of this person as, you know, the whole gender as being your enemy, then how are you going to, you know, bond with a guy if that's the basis of your thinking? I mean, foundationally speaking. And what I'm finding among guys is just the strangest levels of naivete in terms of women's behavior. Now, we've talked about this before. You know, when you watch a movie, there's a thing that's called the suspension of disbelief, you know? So you sit and you're supposed to kind of like, you know, the theater, especially when you go out to the movies, you know, and it kind of gets dim and you start seeing something on the screen and you're supposed to sort of accept that it's real, you know. Now, you know, intellectually, you know that the people are actors, obviously, and, you know, the special effects, or they're in outer space or something, you know, that's not real. But there's something that's supposed to, you know, be part of your experience where you're looking at it and you start to, you know, kind of sympathize with the characters and believe that what you're seeing is really happening. And, you know, the same on stage or whatever. And then, you know, essentially you're a kind of a voyeur looking at, you know, these incidents in other people's lives. And one of the things that you have to do, I think, when you have a relationship, and I know, Tom, that you and I are not here to really counsel how to have good relationships and marriages.
By
right?
the way, I don't recommend them at all.
Right. Okay. So let's not. I'm not going to delve too deeply into that conversation. But I think that aside from, you know, if you avoid them completely. And by the way, I was fascinated in the last couple hours the guys that spoke about having a kid and not regretting it, but meanwhile hadn't, I think, had sex in 20 years or something like
right.
that.
Right.
All right. Well, that's one alternative, I suppose. Pretty drastic. Probably not what your average guy is going to be able to do. There's actually studies that show that sex is really important for mental health. And, I mean, aside from physical frustration or blue balls or whatever you want to talk about, it's really, really not healthy, just emotionally, mentally, and whatnot, to not have sex. It's just really bad for you. And that's true for men and women, apparently. But I think particularly for guys. I've always been surprised to talk to women who haven't had sex in 10 years with their husbands or whatever. But when a guy is in that situation, usually he ventures away. He's much more likely, I think, to just, you know, see a prostitute or whatever. The weird thing still is that the suspension of disbelief in relationships, I think it's very much geared that a woman has to be different. You have to convince yourself that she's not like the others, you know, and that I found this special snowflake and so forth. And I talked to a guy today, Tom. I was considering in my mind to have him on the show, but I think it would have worked out bad, like you said. But what ended up happening in his life is fascinating. He was married for this woman, with this woman for a long time, like 15 years. And apparently, he's a P1 of the show, by the way. He loves you and the whole thing. He gave me that whole thing about how much he appreciates the show.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so he knew for the past several years that things were really bad. And about a year ago, he told her, I've had it with you, I want a divorce or whatever. And then what's fascinating is, like, you make a statement like that, and then he just didn't do anything. He just continued living with her and, like, carried on as before. So I don't know what these guys are waiting for. They, like, don't pull the trigger, they don't call me, they just sort of in this suspended animation or something. And, you know, he's pretending everything's okay, but the woman, I think, is seething with anger. And I think as the time goes, it's worse and worse. I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Pope of Greenwich Village with
many
Mickey
years,
Rourke. Yeah,
yeah,
classic, right?
Yeah.
In that movie, he is living with this woman. I think it was Daryl Hannah, and she leaves him. And apparently, he had a suitcase full of cash, and she took it. She helped herself because, you know, I think she was pregnant, so she said, "Well, I need it for our baby" or something like that.
Right.
And in this story, except that it's real. This guy apparently had saved about $75,000 in cash that he kept at the house, and he was going to buy a house with it or something. He kept it in they were living in an apartment, I guess, or whatever, a rented place. But anyway, so he told her he wanted a divorce, and then he didn't do anything about it. And apparently what happened is that she split, and she took a lot of stuff, and among the things that she took is she took all the cash that he had saved. She
nice.
Helped herself.
Yeah.
Right?
Jesus.
Now, the great thing about this is that he was absolutely shocked that she did this. And he's saying to me how different she was and what an unusual woman she was, and she wasn't like the other girls. And it's fascinating. He was absolutely stunned and blown away that she did this evil thing to him. And the whole connection of it, I mean, he just never conceived of her doing it. It just never occurred to him that she would stoop that low and steal from him and so forth.
Right.
And he wants to hire me, Tom, but he wants me primarily to get the money back. That's what I'm supposed to do.
Well, that's not going to happen,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, I was trying to tell him that, and this is the part that I was discussing with Gary is, you know, when I told him that I really don't think I can get the money back, I think she probably just kind of took it, you know, and it was cash and all that sort of thing, so it's not really very traceable. And, you know, he got really, really angry. So
at you?
Yeah, yeah. I think it was a little too much truth.
But
you
he
know?
Was he was asking for a miracle. Who could do that?
I don't know. I mean, I was telling him, like, we have to concentrate on
never give them access to your cash, your bank account, your credit card,
the keys to the vault.
Never.
Right. The thing was is that you know, when I was talking to him about practical things like, you know, getting a divorce and, you know, he was saying, well, no, I have to get her back, you know, and I have to get her to drop the case. And you know, she already apparently filed for a divorce or something. And, you know, I'm always amazed that guys today don't have any balls, Tom. Seriously.
You're just discovering this now?
No, but it's
welcome to my world.
It's very harsh to be reminded of it, you know, in my case, on a daily basis. because, I mean, you know, you just say something practical like, look, you know, this is a woman that obviously doesn't want you. She doesn't want to be with you. She's stealing from you. Trust has been destroyed, right? I mean, you know, if someone returns your wallet, you know, they say they're sorry, you might let it slide, you know, not call the cops. But you're never going to trust that person again. I mean, you have to be a fool, you know? That's your lesson and a half, you know? I mean, I don't know how people go through these kinds of things. I mean, I've had cases where the wife got a restraining order against the guy.
Right.
And I actually have this one particular case last year that I fought the restraining order. She fought tooth and nail, you wouldn't believe. She accused him of everything. The judge denied the restraining order. Very big victory for me. I was very excited. He was happy. And a couple of weeks later, he got back with her. And I just said to him, like, how could you do that? How could you, you know, if your area code is 911 and the woman is calling the police to your house, I could never trust her again. That's it for me. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other thing I've been seeing a lot of, and this is another case that someone called me in the past couple of days, is people that separate for very long periods of time. So here's a guy who's married about 20 years. And his wife and him separated about 4 years ago in 2012 or 2011. And they're living in, like, different states at this point. I think she's in Texas and he's in California, something like that. And all these years have gone by and they don't speak at all. They're not in touch. And he's still convinced that she's waiting for him and that they're going to reconcile. Now, it's amazing, isn't it? Isn't it supposed to be women that are stupid and hope springs eternal and guys that are practical?
I don't believe that at all. I think guys today are dopes, and and essentially they've been brought up by women.
Right.
And so they act like women.
I think you're onto something. So this yeah, there's really no doubt about it. This guy apparently is expecting somehow that she's going to come back or something's going to fix or something. And so in the past couple of days, she served him with a divorce. Now, I've told you a million times on the air, you know, it's very important to be the one that files. It's very important to be the one that initiates it. You get the momentum and you get to choose the court and you get to do a lot of things that are important. And, you know, you go on the offensive rather than the defensive. And here's a guy that waited for 4 years, did nothing, and now she's filed. And he calls me, and he's so upset. Who's he upset at? Her lawyer and her mother, because they put her up to it, and they tricked her, and they made her file. So I'm talking to him as, you know, potentially his lawyer. I'm saying, listen, you got to think about the case. You got to start thinking about your rights. You have to think about the property that you have and trying to get your fair share of you know, your part of the marriage and the children and all these things. And he says to me, well, what I want to hire you for, Adam, is I want you to get her to drop the case. See?
Unbelievable.
So I said, what do you mean drop the case? You haven't been with her in 4 years.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you know, she's waiting for me. We're going to get back together pretty soon.
Oh, Jesus.
I said, now, come on, man. 4 years, that's a long time. You don't think she's probably been with another guy? Get this. She wouldn't dare. Now, he's living in a different state, Tom.
Jesus.
Now, it's amazing when you talk to guys about the possibility that their wives are cheaters. Or if I tell a guy he should get a DNA test on his kids.
Right.
Oh, my God. They're like, they can't imagine their wife cheating.
No.
Not in a million years. Yeah, are you kidding?
But not because of the wife. It's because they can't believe they were tricked. People have big egos.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Other women do it, but I would know. I would know if she was doing it.
Really? My favorite is, I don't know if I would know, but she's not that type.
Right.
That's my favorite.
You
don't know my wife, man. She's not the type that would ever do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I go, really? Is that a fact? You've got the one special snowflake, huh? So anyway, so I told this guy, look, you know, you got to wake up. You know, you got to recognize that she's obviously, you know, waited 4 years. She's filing the case. That's a good thing. You know, go with it. Get the divorce done. Move on with your life. And so he got very angry at me about this, Tom.
Oh, my.
I think that's another hater I was talking about.
Jesus.
I wanted to get these guys on the show and flesh out with them a little. I thought you could talk to them, especially. You know how to handle them, you know? But the thing that ends up happening when you're the bearer of the bad news, like the messenger, right? I'm telling the guy the truth. Look, and I'm trying to be kind. I said, listen, you know, you got to look at this objectively. She's filing a case. I can't get her to drop the case. This is probably a good thing. You guys have been apart for years. You got to start, you know, thinking about your future without her. And by saying that to him, he turned his whole kind of anger and frustration on me.
Right.
And he starts saying, well, fuck you. You don't know what you're talking about. She's a special woman, and how dare you? And, you know,
right.
I don't know. So I was just saying to Gary, because, you know, Gary's sort of my therapist, you know.
Uh-huh.
I was saying, Gary, like, you know, how do I handle this better? You know, he's like my business consultant, I guess. But it's very hard to sort of look at the way things are today and the way that people look at their lives and analyze and so forth. You know, one of the guys that called in the past few hours, I think he was in his 50s, and he was talking about how miserable he was and how hard it had been to raise children, and he got married too young and all that. I think what people don't recognize, and I see this now myself being, you know, middle age or whatever, that, you know, it's not going to go on forever, you know, and life is really short. And when you do these things and you spend years and years and years in a stupid situation, or, you know, you're miserable. And I talk to these guys and they're telling me, you know, we live in separate rooms in the house. We fight all the time. We've been fighting for years. And then, you know, it ends with, and I can't believe she filed for a divorce. I'm like, dude, you should be glad. You know, she's pulling the ripcord. It's sort of like that thing, Tom, we talked about in the past when, you know, you're saying how, like, when you get dumped, you know. A lot of guys get, you know, very hurt by that. And I remember being hurt, you know, getting dumped and stuff a couple of times. But in a way, it's like this woman has given you your freedom. You know what I mean? I mean,
right. It's, like, it's the best thing that ever happened to you.
You have to really be able to see it that way.
Yeah.
It's not a joke.
Yes.
I mean, in a lot of books that I've read about, like, you know, business and success and stuff, you know, a lot of incredibly successful people came off of very big hardships where they had just been fired. You know, I remember Hugh Hefner asked for a raise or whatever, and they said no. I think it was Esquire magazine, so he quit and made his own magazine. You
right.
know, things like that.
Kind of like us.
By the way, I was just getting to that. I think that even in your situation, obviously, reflects a lot of that. And, you know, there's kind of this thing where you have a misfortune happen to you. And I think, you know, getting divorced, and, you know, I've been divorced, I think it's very traumatic. I've seen it with men and women. I think it's always a very heavy thing that happens to people. And it's really the death of something. And it's, you know, a lot of the promises and the thoughts. And people try to believe in the fairy tales and, you know, happily ever after and all that kind of stuff. And it's very, very upsetting, you know, when that doesn't work. And you see how people sort of cling to it, even in the face of, you know, absolute, you know, hopelessness. And that's kind of something you see in literature, you know, where, you know, the guy's missing or whatever and he's presumed dead, and the girlfriend or the wife never gives up on him and keeps looking for him, and, you know, and then in the story she finds him, you know. But in reality she doesn't. You know, reality's a lot different. And, you know, the people that I've seen that did have their marriage fall apart and then get back together, even like regular couples that just have their relationships break and get back together, it's usually really bad the second time around because trust is lost. Like that guy that took your wallet, you know? I mean, you could be a real good Christian and forgive the guy, but you're never going to look at him the same. You're never going to trust him,
no.
You know? I mean, the whole sense of, you know, hey, you stuck a knife in my back, you fucking jerk. You know, I'm not going
right.
to I'm not going to feel the same, you know, bond of friendship with you or whatever. That's got to be something that's lost in a relationship, especially people that file a divorce or get a restraining order, call
right.
the police or whatever. I don't know how people could be so naive. And if you're away from someone for years and years, or if you know you're going to divorce someone, you don't leave lots of cash in the apartment because, of course, she's going to take it. See, that's what I said to the guy. I said, it's not that she took it. Of course she took it. How could you have thought she wouldn't take it? That's the joke. It was amazing that he was so surprised that she had done that. He couldn't believe it, you know?
Right.
I was like, dude, you've got it absolutely backwards. And the same thing about, like I said, about getting dumped before, Tom. You know, when you look at the situation and the way that they did this, you know, this woman, in a way, did him a favor. You know, now he knows how dishonest she is. He knows how self-centered she is. It's a good thing he didn't have a kid with her, for example. Thank God, you know, she walked away. She took some money. I mean, whatever. In this case, he gave her a nice chunk. But whatever it is, he's lucky that he's still young and he can wash his hands from her and, you know, get someone better, someone that actually cares about him, as opposed to this cunt. You know, and it's like it's so hard for people to recognize this. And it's that same thing I've talked about in the past and something I think that you've mentioned, which is, you know, in terms of commodities in life, you know, is if pussy's a commodity, then it's being looked at by these guys in terms of scarcity. Like there's so such a small amount of it, you know, and you have to hold on to it with your right. fingernails, you know.
By the way, isn't it interesting that diamonds are the same way? Diamonds are treated like these precious stones, and the reality is they're the fake ones. No one can tell the fake ones from the real ones.
You know what's incredible, Tom? With respect to diamonds, and it's fascinating. I'm glad you mentioned it. You know, diamonds are a cartel with De Beers and several of these Russian companies that are involved, and there's no scarcity of diamonds at all. There are so many diamonds in this world that what they actually have to do is they mine them and they keep them in vaults and only release them a little at a time to create a false scarcity. Can you believe that?
Yes. Yes,
I mean,
of course.
If they were sold based on supply and demand in the open market, they would be $5 each. And I'm not talking fake ones. I mean real ones. So it's the same exact thing. Here, women essentially are creating a false scarcity. Okay, that pretending like a guy gets laid and he's like so lucky and so happy, he can't get over it. And it's like, if I lose this woman, as crazy as she is, it doesn't matter because, you know, I mean, I'll never get laid again. I have to tolerate all her insanity. And the reality is, it's just the opposite. Every woman has what she has. It's a complete comedy show. If you really believe that you have to hang on to her as she's, you know, basically upping the ante, a woman keeps acting crazier and crazier and crazier, and men, by tolerating it and accepting it and going along with it and playing along with it, are accepting more and more in terms of the price that they have to pay to be with her. If you look at this guy that was on this the show earlier talking about that he gave up on women, and I'm not saying this is a good idea, it's certainly not very healthy to do, but if you look at the guys who took the red pill, you were talking about this yesterday, Tom, with
right.
the what do they call those?
About the Matrix.
MGTOWs or whatever.
Right.
You talk about that's MGTOW is men going their own way. A lot of the heavy-duty MGTOWs, the red pill guys, are not just limiting themselves in terms of toleration or whatever, what they'll tolerate. A lot of these guys are swearing off women completely. And when you hear the statistic that you guys were talking about, that was that, you know, 18 to 34-year-olds, like 30 or 40% of them live with their parents or whatever.
Right.
People are not starting new families. They're not going on, you know, and getting older and you know, branching off or whatever. And I guess there's a lot less sex going on, apparently, I suppose.
Well, and by the way, a lot of guys stay home with their video games and their virtual reality porn, and they're a lot happier that way.
Well, that's a very interesting question. I got to tell you, you know, porn, if you look at it today, is a whole lot different than when you and I were young, Tom.
No.
I mean, it's much more graphic. It's much more specific. It's much more intense. Seriously. I mean, the whole genres and it's free. That's the joke. It's streaming live on your phone or on
right.
your laptop, right? It's not like this big deal. You used to have to get those tapes and everything?
Before that, you had to go to movie theaters.
Oh, my God.
You know, and your feet stuck to the floor.
Oh, ick. Thanks for that image, Tom.
That's what it was.
When you look at the question, I don't recommend being celibate, but if you look at the question of guys not being willing to pay the price and guys going out with it and, you know, seeing some of the things that we've talked about on the show in terms of, you know, women pressing false rape charges and guys getting stuck for alimony and child support and all the other stuff that comes along with it. I mean, it is a very, very risky situation. And guys, you know, today, let's say, being risk adverse, are saying, you know, what the hell with it? I love my friends, and I love my video games, and my porn, and I love my mom's basement.
Yep.
And she does my laundry.
Right. Right.
I don't know. I mean, when I was 16, 17, I know you too, Tom, we were dying to get the hell out. But
I was out at 16.
Right, I know.
Just for the record.
I understand. I think that some people, you know, I mean, if your parents aren't so bad, maybe it's a different situation. Maybe they don't necessarily want to deal with this. But the other side of it is also true, where I see these guys, and the ones I've talked about just now, who are in these ridiculous, sick, awful situations and have no sense that they need to run. And I don't know what to suggest, I swear to God, because anything I say, I think they just get mad. So all I can tell you guys is if you're doing that, if you're in that situation, pull the ripcord. And if you're crying over some girl that dumped you, I'm telling you, I know it hurts, but it's probably the best thing that ever happened. And if you can pick yourself up and dust yourself off,
right,
what comes next is probably going to be 10 times better than anything she possibly could have given you.
Right. Now, we want to take a break here. And
sure.
In doing so, we want to tell everybody that, that we have with us here in studio family law attorney Adam Sachs. And Adam is here to answer your legal questions. This is free legal advice for you. And so who is you? Okay. You is, Bess, you is my woman. Now.
Are you losing your English there, Tom?
No. I'm just kind of having fun with the language. No, the bottom line here is if you are separate, if you are thinking about getting a divorce, if you're in the middle of a divorce gone wrong, if you have kids and you're worried about paying child support or getting custody of your kids, if you're worried about paying vagina money, which is monthly payments for the past use of a vagina, are you paying that? Okay. Or maybe you've gotten a restraining order against you. Okay, all of these, if you are thinking about getting a divorce or in the process of trying to get one right now, you need to talk to Adam. You need to get your questions answered. And Adam comes in here for the bonus hour every week specifically to give you free legal advice. This is free for you. All you have to do is call this number right now, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's our number. Talk to Adam Sachs right now. Get your legal questions answered at 901-3000-866.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank. 901-3000-TOM, that's our number here for Adam Sachs. This is free legal advice for you at 901-3000-TOM. It's 901-3000-866. A reminder, everybody, you know, this stuff doesn't come for free. We run limited commercials. And you may think it's not limited commercials, but turn on a radio and see how many commercials they're running, okay? And the way we're able to do that is that you are a subscriber to Premium Tom or Super Premium Tom. What's in it for you? Well, let's start with the fact that you can go back and listen to any of our almost 5,000 hours of shows at any time for any reason. You can search them out, play them back for yourself. That is really an advantage. You don't have time to sit and wait for your favorite hour to come along, or if you listen to our replays hoping to hear a particular segment, why do that? Sign up with Premium Tom or Super Premium Tom, which is ad-free, and you'll be able to listen to any hour, anytime you want. You take complete control of the situation. Also, substantial discounts on our events, on our merchandise, just about anything we do over here. If you are a subscriber, you save money. Our Dodger game coming up this summer alone, you'd save $50 by being a subscriber. I can't believe the number of people who would pay an extra $50 to avoid subscribing for $110 for the entire year.
That's amazing. $50 per ticket.
$50 per ticket.
So I bought 3 tickets, Tom.
Right. Well,
so I saved $150.
You did. But you're part of the family. Reality is that the listener, the subscriber gets $50 off, and the extra tickets, if they're not subscribers, they pay the non-subscriber rate.
Right.
You understand.
Right, right, right.
We don't want to be promoting that everyone's getting the family discount. But that's the deal, folks. Sign up today. That's how we keep the lights on here and keep the guys paid. All you have to do is sign up today for Premium Tom and ad-free Super Premium Tom by going to PremiumTom.com right now. PremiumTom.com. All right, 901-3000-TOM. It's family law attorney Adam Sachs and your phone calls. And now's the time to call in if you want to talk to Adam. Let's say hi to Derek in Portland, Oregon, home of the other white meat on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Adam.
Hey, yes. Derek. How you doing?
Not bad. This is for a friend. He is going through a separation, and the only reason he's not really going through with the divorce is because his wife's grandma has some money, and he's wondering if she dies, would he be able to get any of that money or something like that? And that's kind of why he's dragging his feet right now.
Okay, well, you got to remember two things. You know, we don't have to have the consent of both people. So if I'm in a situation where I'm representing the husband, let's say, and the wife doesn't want the divorce and she's dragging her feet, we can do it without her. Okay, so that's not going to work. And second of all, and this is very specific to what you're talking about, inheritances, generally speaking, in most states, are the property only of the person who's the inheriting person. So even if you're married, if your grandmother or whoever leaves you, you know, $1 million or whatever it is, that is your separate property. And that is not part of what's called the community. So in other words, that would go only to you, and your wife or ex-wife or whatever, the other partner, would not have any claim on it. So that is wasting his time.
All right, that's what I want to tell him, because he's just dragging his feet with this. She's already moved out. She's kind of went on with her life, but he's thinking like he's going to get a payday. So that's exactly what I wanted to know, and to be able to tell him that. Take me out with a bong hit.
All right, here you go. No, 901-3000, Tom. It's free legal advice from Adam Sachs here at 901-3000, Tom. You talk to Adam at 901-3000-866. All right, so an inheritance is separate, but aren't there ways that inheritance might become not separate? For example, if a husband and wife have a joint bank account,
right,
and the wife deposits that check into the joint bank account, does she lose that exclusivity?
That is possible. That's called transmutation. Generally speaking, it's a very good idea, and this is something that people, you know, that are in love don't want to think about. But even when you're married, you really need to keep separate accounts. I know that sounds crazy, and it's unromantic and all that other good stuff, and women don't like it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They want to have that joint account with little kitty cat checks and all that stuff.
Yes.
But the reality is that if you take that money and you're able to trace it, then it's yours, and it remains yours if it was your inheritance, for example, or if it was the damages you got, let's say, from a personal injury case, if
right.
you were hit by a car or something. That's your separate property, man or woman. But if you, as Tom was just saying, if you intermingle it with a joint account in a way that it can no longer be traced back, then you're taking a good chance of it being transmuted, which means it becomes community property, and you cannot undo that.
Same thing if you used an inheritance to buy a house, let's say. Maybe your wife says, well, that'll be great for the down payment on our new place. She's essentially giving him half of that money, isn't she?
Well, that's a possibility. You know, she's going to claim you can, and by the way, I don't care who she is or how sweet she is, she's going to claim that you gifted that to her in terms of her half of it or whatever in the inheritance when you put it down on the house. Now, you may be able to show, I don't know, let's say it was $100,000 down on the house. You may be able to show that $100 came out of this account, which was the inheritance money that I got from my grandma Rose or whatever. But the reality is that your ex-wife at that point is going to have a lawyer, and the lawyer is going to say, hey, bullshit, that was given and shared, and you lived in the house together, and you both paid the mortgage, and blah, blah, blah. So that's the thing about keeping it separate. You also see the value, based on this person who just called, where apparently they're getting divorced, but it sounds like neither of them has a lawyer, and so they're depending on rumors, you know, and he's not signing it because he believes he might be able to get money from the inheritance or whatever that she was getting. I get a lot of people who tell me, oh, some clerk told me, I heard from a friend of a friend, I have a cousin who has a nephew whose brother-in-law is a real estate lawyer, you know, and in criminal cases, I'm always hearing from people telling me what the cop said or what the detective told them or whatever. Friends, this is all nonsense, okay? You need to have your own attorney explain this to you. And as you can see, these people, instead of spending a few hundred dollars on a lawyer, are dragging on a divorce that should be concluded because of a false premise. It's really unfortunate. You know, Tom, I was just talking to Dino about this. I've had case after case after case where I represented a guy against a woman who was absolutely broke. I mean broke. And she didn't have any family money. She didn't have her mother bankrolling her. She was broke. And here, in the case, she has this really aggressive lawyer. And he's coming to court, and he's cursing at me, and he's filing all kinds of stuff, you know? And I always would sit there and say, How does she do this? I don't understand it. How does she have this lawyer? Why is this lawyer involved? I mean, he's doing this for charity. She couldn't possibly be paying him. It's just too ridiculous, you know? And, you know, Dino just showed me that Casey Anthony, the lady who killed her children or whatever, she was in, I think, Florida or something, and she had this very, very famous, great lawyer, and apparently she owes him hundreds of thousands of dollars, and she's been paying him with sex.
Wow.
You like that?
Anybody ever offer that to you?
I don't think so. I hope not. I wouldn't even... I would not respond to that, thank you. That is not a very good idea.
I'm always just interested if anyone made the offer. You know?
I don't know. I try not to think about such things.
Oh, my.
But I certainly wouldn't accept the offer, thank you very much.
Understood.
But I don't know. I don't think she really likes me, you know. She's just looking for the legal services. But, I mean, it is something that must go on a lot. It's obviously very unethical and certainly illegal. But I think unless she complains about it, she's probably, you know, nothing will ever come of it. You know, if the lawyer does it and she accepts it and then it's just sort of between the two of them, then nothing will ever happen, right? I don't think he'll get in trouble or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's amazing. That's an incredible way to pay for products and services, eh?
By the way, get back to commingling of funds for a moment.
Oh, sorry.
No.
Didn't you have a muffler girl? Wasn't there someone who got the muffler for free?
That was one of the ex-wives, yes.
Didn't she have the drink for free and got
she
pregnant
said
or
she
something?
No, she never got pregnant. She went to Midas Muffler. I don't know which location. She went there, and the guy was very generous. She got a free tailpipe and a muffler.
Yeah.
Just from walking in the door. That's all she had
just
to do.
Just from opening the top button.
And to this day, probably still proud of telling that story. Look how I'm so hot, the guy gave me a muffler.
Yeah, but I've heard a lot of women brag.
And a tailpipe.
I've heard a lot of women brag about how they got free stuff just for smiling. Okay? This is
But I do believe they do.
Yeah, but this is what the British call a whiff of quim, which means just like a smell, you know?
Yeah.
But the bigger question is women who actually go all the way. That's kind of what I'm talking about.
Right.
That there was a woman that got the free drink and screwed the bartender and had a baby with him or whatever, right?
Yep.
That was for the drink, wasn't it?
Yes.
I mean, that's you know, sex for a drink,
right?
How
much is a shot? $6? What are you doing?
I mean, that seems kind of unbelievable that she would go that far, you
yes.
know?
Yes.
That's a lot for one drink.
You couldn't go to like Ralph's and pick up a bottle of booze?
I don't know.
How cheap are you?
And then to have a kid, of course. That was
right.
the other slight detail.
Now, I want to tell you about commingling funds. Here's,
pardon me.
Here's how I got around the commingling.
Oh, this happened to you?
When I was married.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, that was in the agreement that we were not going to commingle funds.
Right.
And so I had my bank account. She had her bank account. And to soften that blow and to make things easier, what I did was, I got us a joint bank account.
Really?
Yes. And then I only put exactly enough to pay the electric bill, enough to pay the gas bill, and not a penny more.
Well, she must have hated you for that, Tom.
Well, the point is, we had a joint checking account.
Yeah, but
she
say
could
so.
Have pictures of guinea pigs on it or whatever.
No, I know, but leave the guinea pigs. I could just picture this. So there's the Tom Likas bank account, which has got like, you know, $72,000, okay?
Well,
then there's
at least.
Then there's the girlfriend. Well, I'm thinking cash here, you know?
I figure I'm talking cash.
You have your money well invested, I would hope.
I do, but I also had a lot of cash liquid in case I needed it for investments
okay.
and things like that.
So the Tom Likas account has a serious balance, okay?
Yes.
Then we have her personal account that's negative $14, okay?
Yeah, it's probably like that savings account and like Wells Fargo, you know, the one that's got $87.12 in it. Yeah.
Right. And then you've got the joint account. Which
yes.
has got about $314, which is exactly enough to pay the water and the electric.
That's right. Not a penny more.
And she's telling her mother on the phone that you're a prick.
Well, she might be saying that, but it's what we agreed to. Yeah, the great thing about a prenup is anytime they start to whimper about that, you say, you agree to this. Here's the agreement right here.
You keep the agreement handy?
You didn't have to agree to that. But you did.
But you whip out the agreement, Tom?
Yes.
Oh, that's tactless.
You told me.
Very unromantic.
You told me the reason you were marrying me was because you loved me. It was not about money, and you signed this agreement.
You big teddy bear.
Well, it's kind of hard for somebody to argue about it when their signature is looking them in the face. Why'd you sign this? Did you sign? Is that your signature? Clearly it is.
Oh, man.
And you signed it, and you told me you loved me, and that's why you wanted to get married to me. It was not about my money.
You sure know how to treat a girl, Tom.
Yeah, you bet I do. That's why I still own my houses and all my cars and, you know, all my bank accounts, all my investments. I completely owe my Social Security payment that'll be coming in the distant future.
No garnishments, eh, Tom?
I own my my IRAs and my former 401Ks that are now IRAs, all of that. I own all of it. And that's because I put it down in writing. And I simply said, well, if we're not getting married for love, you're getting married so I can pay you for your time. Maybe we shouldn't do this.
And you don't have any woman walking out of your house with the $75,000 cash that
no.
from the secret spot.
No, nope.
Cashing in the ashtrays, right?
My
the,
my
forks
secret
and knives.
My secret spot is a safe deposit box at a location of the bank that nobody knows for sure.
That's where, attaboy.
That's where the cashola goes, stays.
Well, it's really tough, but I mean, I just don't see how you could ever have enough trust in a woman to have, you know, give her the keys to the vault, as it were.
I don't trust anybody that way. Anybody. Anybody can turn on you. We know one person, for example, because we're in the wine business now.
Yeah.
We know one person, there were three partners, right? The winemaker himself. The other guy was like a sommelier, and he was in a partnership. The third guy was the accountant, and he did like sweat equity. You know, he's doing his accounting services in exchange for a piece of the action.
Right.
And while he was the accountant for the company, the bookkeeper, accountant, he skimmed off all the cashola and ran.
Oh, jeez.
That's what he did.
Oh,
you
man.
Just don't do that with people.
And the accountant's really in the position to do that, too, right?
Somebody gets mad at you, they drain your bank account. You can't give them that option. Can't.
Sick.
We have a very long-distance call coming in here.
Okay.
This is Chuck in Okinawa. You're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Chuck, hello.
What's up, Tom?
Not much, Chuck. How about with you?
Hey, Chuck.
Oh, it's just another day. What's going on, Adam?
How you doing, man? What's going on in Okinawa?
I'm doing pretty good. Not much. It's trying to rain, as always. You know,
are you a soldier?
Call Adam. I'm sorry?
Are you a soldier?
No. I was in the Marine Corps years ago, but I'm a civilian as an expat now.
All right. Well, thanks for your service anyway.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Yeah, I never thought I'd call you because, you know, I live overseas, but I just realized something. And actually, the app, Tom, told me that Adam was on and ready to answer questions.
All right.
And I was like, man, I need to call that guy.
High tech.
Love that.
Yeah, really cool. So here's the situation. I got married to a local Japanese girl years ago. We initially got married in California. Of course, I got her pregnant, and that's why we got married, because, you know, we like to double down before we listen to Tom.
Right.
We were together for a few years. I got out of the military, we moved to Kentucky, we lived there for a while, and then we ended up living over here. When I moved over here, we went to the city office and got married. It's like a 5-minute process here in Japan.
You got married again?
We're married in both countries. But here it was for the purpose of getting a visa, obviously, and getting a job and stuff. But last year we got divorced here in Japan.
Wow.
But we didn't get divorced in the States yet. So I'm actually coming home next month. And I wanted to start the process of taking care of this in the States, but I have no idea how to even get started.
Right. Okay, well, I think the good news is that you probably don't have to. In terms of getting married, and I mean, I don't know exactly what you did, but as I understand from what you said, you originally got married in the U.S. in Kentucky, right? Or in California?
In California.
Okay.
California.
That was your marriage right there. Okay. And when you did it, I mean, assuming you did it legit and everything, you know, we got a license and did a ceremony.
Yes.
If that's your marriage, that's your marriage right there. And when you went to do it in Japan or whatever you did there, that was superfluous. I mean, you just basically reasserted your vows a second time. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
these things are recognized internationally. So your marriage in the United States is your legitimate marriage right there. And so then when you got divorced, you were living in Japan. And I'm assuming you did it in accordance with Japanese law, whatever that is, and you got
yes.
a divorce in Japan. That's your divorce. That's it.
Okay.
That's recognized, you know, again, internationally. I'm assuming that you did it correctly, so I don't know what you did. But if you did it legitly and properly, according to the local law, and you lived in Japan or whatever the rules are there, then, you know, whatever certificate you have from the court or whatever, you may need to get it translated into English or whatever officially, but that's your divorce. So the idea that you move back to the U.S. or, you know, anywhere else in the world, I don't think you need to get another divorce. You're divorced.
That's it. So, I mean, but, I mean, wouldn't our marriage still be on file in the U.S.?
I guess so.
Isn't there something I have to do to get it off the books? And
not
it's
really.
It?
Where you get married doesn't matter that much. You know, people get married in Nevada and, like, you know, Vegas or whatever. People get married in the Bahamas or whatever. You know, that doesn't matter. They may have a record of it, but then, you know, when you're living in New York, you get divorced in New York. And your marriage in the Bahamas or back wherever it was, that doesn't matter. That's just where you got married. The law that's going to cover is the law of your residency, which in this case would be Japan for you.
Yes.
So let me ask you a question. What was it like being married to a Japanese woman? How did that go?
It was horrible.
Really?
No, you know, it's really funny, and I've one of these days when I wake up early enough on a Saturday, I'll tell Tom a little story. But, you know, the story Tom tells about his wife rolling over and saying, you know, I never liked having sex in the morning. I had the same thing, except, I mean, we were boning two times a day, four times a week.
Right.
And then after we get married, she goes, you know, I'd be really happy if we just did it like once a month. And I'm going, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's a little false advertising there. Lost leader.
It was rough, and she tried to play the whole this is Japanese custom thing, but she tried to have it to be in her favor for everything, and she's Americanized is really what it comes down to at this point.
We were talking about foreign women and foreign brides, and, you know, one of the things that we talked about is how quickly they Americanize. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. I had a lot of trouble when I was still in the service. She would go to in the Marine Corps, and I'm sure any other listener that's in Marine Corps knows this, the command will screw over the Marine in order to take care of the family.
Oh, of course, of course.
So
and you had a kid
command.
With her, right? You said you had a child, right?
Yeah,
oh,
I had
forget
a kid.
It.
We had a son together.
Oh, forget it.
So, yeah, she would go to my command and force me to do shit, and I'm going, what the fuck? You know, so it was pretty rough, but it's all over now. We've been separated for a year and a half.
But what about this other thing?
I finally got her to sign the divorce papers last year.
I heard a lot about in Japanese culture. I don't know if you're exposed to this. You know, you're living there. There's supposed to be this whole thing they call the herbivore men, that are just not getting into the culture, not getting married, not going to work. Are you seeing any of that?
They're called cabbage eaters.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Cabbage eaters. Yeah, it's a big thing out here.
And what is that?
It's actually really funny. Some of the best and easiest pussy to get out here are married women.
Right.
Because even though some of them are not getting married, some of them are still getting married for the purpose of having a kid, mostly because their parents forced them to.
Right.
So it's really cool because they get these super hot Japanese wives, and the only time they have sex is to have the kid. And then, like, every once in a while, they'll go out somewhere together, but mostly they're out dating guys like us.
Right.
And nobody gives a shit.
My experience is definitely true. It is much easier to get a married woman to have sex with you than a single woman. Isn't that amazing?
That's true.
Sick. Wow, that's incredible, dude.
I did have one more question, Adam, before I go.
Yeah.
So, custody. My son is an American citizen.
Right.
He's never been legalized as a Japanese citizen, no matter how many times you tried.
Really?
Yeah, I've looked into it. There's no benefit for him. When he's 18, he has a choice.
Right.
He can say, I'm going to stay in Japan and be Japanese, or he can go back to the States and be American. If I make him a Japanese citizen, he's done with America, you know, so.
Well, where was he born?
He was born in California.
Now, so he can always go back to his American citizenship.
Okay, well, that's good. My only question is if I decide in a few years to move back to the States.
Right.
Now, when you get a divorce in Japan, it's as simple as going to the city office.
Right.
But they don't really do custody here.
Right.
They're kind of starting to do it, but they really don't. So when we did it, on the initial paperwork, we wrote down that I had two stepdaughters too, by the way. Tom will love that.
But she was a single mother?
Yeah, she was.
Oh, come on, dude. What'd you do that for? Are you kidding me?
You know, I'll be honest, and here's an answer to one of your questions you always ask, Tom, too, is when I met her, I thought because she already had kids that she was a good mom, and she would be a good mom to any kids that I was going to have, which was a total foolish mistake.
If she was a good mother, she would have made it work with the kid's father, okay? That's a good mother.
He was actually abusive.
Oh,
so that's
yeah, of course.
But.
He's abusive. He's in jail. He's out of the picture. He's a loser. He's an abuser. Yeah, what else is there?
By the way, the fact that she chose someone like that is a red flag.
Yeah, why'd she have two kids with a fucking loser?
Yeah, and I'm the big man that came in and took care of them.
It's Captain Save-A-Ho.
And taught them English.
Wow.
And taught them to be the number one in their class in two states, and now they don't even fucking talk to me.
Well, because why? Here's the quote. No good deed goes unpunished.
That's right, Mark Twain.
You got that shit right, Tom.
Now, listen, hold on a second. Before you even continue, I really want you to state this. This is crucial, okay? This is the standard experience of the stepfather. You were good to them, you paid for them, you raised them, you taught them a language, you helped them out, and now they won't even talk to you, right?
That's absolutely correct.
You got to put an underline under that. So we would call that pretty unrewarding, would you say?
Very unrewarding.
Not quite like the Disney movie, right?
Yeah, the last time one of them talked to me, it was, hey, all of a sudden, hey, Dad, how you been?
Need some cash.
I need money.
Yeah.
And I was like,
how'd I guess?
You know what I told her? I decided to try to even be a little fair. I said, sure, you come to where I'm living for the rest of this weekend and clean my fucking house, and I'll pay you for working. And no, she didn't respond after that.
Yeah, that was the end of her, huh?
Just like her mother.
Unbelievable.
Okay, so finish my question. So,
by the way, how old was this woman when she had two kids?
She was in her early 20s.
Come on, dude. That's every red flag.
It was. I wasn't, in all fairness, I've been a listener for like 2 years. It was a long time ago, 10 years ago.
I'll give you a pass.
So, so if I decide to move back to the States in the next couple of years,
right.
On our divorce paperwork, she does not have a son. That's how they do it here.
Really?
But on my paperwork, it says that I have a son and she has two daughters. That's all it says.
Yeah, but how old is he now?
He's going to be 7 this year. He's 6 right now.
All right. Well, you got to be careful. I mean, if you take him and he's a minor, and 2 years from now he's like 9 or 10 or whatever, you don't do that without her consent, right? I mean, you could be charged with like kidnapping him or something.
Okay.
Right?
I don't know. I've been told. This is one of the reasons I'm calling in. I've been told many different things.
Well, would she vehemently object to you taking him?
It depends on what day of the week you talk to her, Adam.
Okay. Well. What can I say? If she's crazy, that's a big problem.
Chuck, good luck.
Jesus, Tom.
Jeez.
Is that 10 out of 10? And they always tell you the single mother thing kind of at the end.
Right.
Oh, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Because they don't want to admit to that.
Yeah, but again, look at this. He raised these girls. He made all this effort for them. And for what? Fuck you, right?
Right.
Hey, Dad, I need some cash. How are you?
Exactly.
Haven't talked to you in a while.
When we go back, we'll tell you how to get in touch with Adam Sachs. Don't go anywhere.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, Tom, you can call me toll-free at 800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check out my website, www.adamlawyer.com. I'm also on Facebook. And you can send me an email, which I answer personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
That's all you have to do. Go to adam@adamlawyer.com. By the way, this edition, in case you've just tuned in, it'll repeat and repeat and repeat for 24 hours approximately. And then, obviously, you can always go to PremiumTom.com, press the play button, and hear the entire appearance by Adam. And if you'd like to call in and talk to Adam live, he'll be coming back in here coming up on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Yes.
Los Angeles has won a bid for Super Bowl 55, 2021.
That's huge.
The stupid bowl is coming to L.A. Yeah,
even got an applause from the owner of this network.
Wow.
Now, I if he pays $3,500 for a ticket, then I know I've seen everything. Right.
Okay.
No matter who's in it, $3,500 for a ticket, I bet. Probably even more.
How do you win a bid on the Super Bowl when a stadium doesn't even exist?
Well, I guess they're betting that it's going to be completed by such date.
I know what they're thinking. Lots of things could change that, I would think.
Yeah, the environmentalists could get in the way and hold up the building and all kind of crazy
right.
stuff. There might be some turtles or butterflies that are there.
Okay, easy with the turtles. Call Tencent immediately.
Yeah.
He'll come and take care of it.
By the way, over there in Playa Vista, there was a person, lady got dressed up as a turtle and would stand on the corner and flap her little
The turtle lady.
They ended up saving it, and now it's marshlands. They can't build there, but they build all around it.
Right.
But the turtle lady pressed on.
A New York man has been declared not guilty of killing his estranged wife after his fourth trial in her murder. Fourth trial.
Fourth time's a charm for our friend Carol Harris. Mm. Cal Harris.
He got two overturned. I don't know what happened on the third one. I think he was found not guilty, and then they tried him again. It's crazy.
By the way, they deliberated for about 12 hours, over 2.5 days, to get this. He maintained his innocence from day one, and that's why it's always important to say innocent until proven guilty, because you figure after the fourth one, they would have got him, and our friend Cal Harris is walking free.
Right. The wife, by the way, nowhere to be found. There was some blood in the kitchen and some blood out in the garage. Her car at the end of the driveway, she's never been seen again.
Don't forget there was blood from Brentwood all the way back to Rockingham. Yeah. It's crazy.
Right.
And they didn't get that guy either.
This guy's filthy rich, by the way.
So was that
guy. Just so you know. Turns out Uber has figured out that users will pay more if their phones are dying.
Wow, that's the data that they've collected?
That's correct. However, they say they do not use that data against you.
But
do know that they have revealed that the app is not just, you know, running by itself there and not looking at the rest of your phone. And it definitely
seems that way.
Gets that data. And they claim they just use this data to, see what...
To just look?
See what happens.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I do with data. I just know it, and then that's
it. Seems awfully questionable, right?
Oh, I don't like it one bit, man.
I don't know. Finally, that show, The Biggest Loser. You know the one that all those fat girls watch, and they go, oh, and they get crying. That's going to be me someday. I'm going to lose all the weight.
Right.
Lots of former contestants coming forward and saying all kinds of things. Like, first of all, they were making us take drugs to lose weight. Something they refer to as yellow jackets.
Oh, I think I know what those are.
Well, he said they probably contained ephedra. Ephedra.
Oh.
Which is banned.
Yeah, they banned that, right. Because that's what you can make meth out of.
Yeah.
It's in cough medicine or cold medicine.
And another contestant has come forward and said she was told to gain weight, so she could get kicked off the show.
So you mean to tell me a reality show is not really real?
Correct.
Really?
Correct.
Nah.
Done. Plenty more at newsforguys.com. And, of course, you can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
I could use a blowjob on this,
okay.
If I can get a hold of our girl right now.